Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
After spending the last few days at the fair, at times feeling a little lost in this huge crowd of people, I was so encouraged by these words from our second lesson this morning. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Not one of us is ever out of God's sight. Nothing ever happens to us of which God is unaware. In fact, not only does he know what's happening to us and what will happen to us, the truly amazing thing is that the omnipotent creator of heaven and earth cares about every detail of our lives. The incredible, miraculous truth is that we matter to God more than we can possibly imagine. He is intensely and intimately interested in who we are and in what we're going through. Therefore, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious, because God is watching over you at all times and in every situation. Consider these words that David wrote in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You see, David understood that God doesn't view us simply as a mass of humanity, as some nameless and faceless collection of people covering the face of the earth. God sees us, and he cares for us as individuals. No matter what we do or where we go, he is there with us. He's known each one of us intimately since before our birth, when we were babes in our mother's womb. God was watching over us and caring for us. In fact, St. Paul tells us that we were in the mind of God even before the creation of the earth. Before all of this, God was thinking of you and he was thinking of me. In Ephesians we read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." All too often, we face a world which seems to say, you don't matter. You're just another face in the crowd. But that's a lie. We all matter to God. We matter so much that he gave the life of his only begotten Son to save us from sin and death, and to call us sons and daughters of God. Before this world existed, God was thinking of each one of us, and he was making a plan. God has plans to bless us, to call us to himself, to manifest his love to us in every possible way, both now and throughout eternity. Let me ask you this. Have you ever noticed the importance of individual people in the Bible? Individual men and women with names and faces and personalities, strengths and weaknesses? For instance, when God brought mankind into existence, Did he create this giant race of people all at once to cover the face of the earth? No. He breathed the breath of life into one man with a name, Adam. And he created a woman with a name, Eve. When God decided that he was going to bring a great flood to destroy the face of the earth, who did he preserve? Noah and his family. When God decided to separate to himself a peculiar people from all the nations of the earth, he called Abraham. And when he wanted to set those people free from bondage in Egypt, he called Moses. When God the Son, the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity, assumed humanity, came to be our Savior and Redeemer, God chose to use a woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. God sees individuals, and God loves individuals. Consider the way Christ ministered to people. Yes, he taught the multitudes. He fed the 5,000. But when he healed people, it wasn't in great masses. If he wanted to, he could have waved his hand and cured thousands in an instant. But he didn't. Instead, he chose to place his hands on them one at a time. And he healed them one at a time. In the Gospels, we constantly see Christ interacting with individuals. The woman caught in adultery, the rich young ruler, the Samaritan woman at the well, a demon-possessed man, a paralytic, a blind man, a centurion, a tax collector. And so we know that when Christ saw the multitudes, he didn't see a big crowd of people. He saw individuals. And in the same way, when God looks at you and I, that's what he sees. Not anonymous faces in the crowd, but his beloved children, who he knows intimately and loves beyond measure. The fact that God knows us and loves us as individuals reveals the truth that he has a unique plan for every one of us. All we need to do is look around this room, and we'll quickly discover that the God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills does not own a cookie cutter. God does not use a cookie cutter to stamp out identical little disciples, because God loves variety. We should never compare ourselves to other people or strive to be like some made-up ideal, because that's not pleasing to God. And it's not going to bring joy and peace into our lives. But what will is, by his grace, just being the best unique child of God that we could possibly be wherever he has placed us. When we live that way, when we live according to his will, we can rest in the knowledge that where we are now and who we are now is all a result of his sovereign love. And that knowledge allows us to be thankful in every circumstance. God's love for the individual is also an incentive to pray. Because when we pray, see, we're not just simply looking up to the heavens for help or trying to harmonize ourselves with the energy of the universe. When we pray, we are seeking our Father. Our Father, who knows us, who loves us, who delights in doing good things for us. When we go to God in prayer, he's not going to say, "Oh, someone is praying," or "even one of my children is praying." No, God's going to say, "John is praying, Tanya is praying, Bob is praying, Ted is praying. My child, for whom my son gave his life on the cross, is praying. I'm listening." The intimate, personal love of our Father provides endless comfort in times of trial. For when we suffer, we know that it's not because God has lost us in the crowd or because He no longer cares for us. On the contrary, it's because of His intimate, personal love that we can rest in the knowledge that something in our lives is being accomplished through this pain. We aren't victims of fate or pawns being tossed around a random universe. St. Paul assures us all things work together for good for those who love God. So as each second passes, God sees all things. He's working all things for good. He knows what we're going through. For we are more precious to Him than any number of sparrows. The cross is indisputable evidence of our value to Him. And so if we are suffering, we know that this suffering is producing something good in our lives. Something that is abundantly worth the cost. God knows us, and God loves us by name, personally and intimately. And that fact should motivate us to seek Him, to the end that we may know Him personally and intimately. Our Savior Christ has made it possible. He's removed every barrier. We can truly know God. And isn't that the goal of this whole endeavor? The Christian religion, the life and death of Christ, even the creation of the world, all of this happened to the end that we may know God and be fully known and fully loved by our Father. Such intimacy with Him should be the goal of our lives right now, just as it will be our goal, our purpose, our joy in His heavenly kingdom. This world may leave you feeling lost in the crowd, but Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious, because God is watching over you at all times. Even before the world was made, God was thinking of you, and He was making a plan. A plan to love you in every possible way, both now and throughout eternity. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen.